The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 15th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
We stand for it. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear him, but the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable. There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, "Father, give me my share of the estate." So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had and set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to the fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called to one of the servants and asked him what was going on. 'Your brother has come,' he replied, 'and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound.' The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, 'Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat, so that I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, come home, you kill the fatted calf for him.' 'My son,' the father said, 'you were always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Be seated for our prayer. Grace, peace, and mercy be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm tired this morning. Anybody else here tired? That's okay. We all get that way. We all need a little downtime from time to time. Are any of you feeling drained? Drained is being way different than tired. Drained like you have nothing left, like everything has been taken and you are emptied down to your very core. It happens quite often, actually, in this life. Here in our society and in this day and age, life can certainly drain you of your energy and therefore your joy as well. Look at it this way. We all have houseplants at home, I'm sure. Well, at least most of you have at least one at home. And when you do, you learn very quickly that a plant can't survive without water. It will eventually die. Even desert plants that can survive years without rain will eventually die if the rain is too late in coming. That lush, leafy, green plant sitting in your kitchen window will soon droop, sag, wilt, wither, and die. In technological terms, more if you prefer, every cell phone battery will eventually run out of power and die. Some last longer than others, obviously, but there comes a point when every battery needs to be plugged in and recharged. None of them can survive if you drain it without recharging. It will not last forever. Life apart from God, while mired in sin, is equally draining. That's because life as we know it is made up of a series of relationships, and at some point, each will be in the need of reconciliation or forgiveness. Without it, any relationship, like a houseplant without water, will wither and die. Children will need reconciliation with their parents after some foolish decision made in the passions of their youth. Parents will need reconciliation with their children after the misuse of parental authority or some other failure. Without reconciliation, without forgiveness, one offense will lie there and fester and grow, nagging until it ends up in resentment. Slowly, resentment overcomes the relationship as a houseplant is overcome by the lack of water or a phone battery drained over time. Without reconciliation, relationships of parents and children will not survive, as it is with any relationship. I had a great friend of mine that I met on the very first day of high school, and we stayed close for decades. One day, a few things were said online, of all places, and neither one of us was willing to reach out to the other. Well, I haven't spoken to him in 14 years, and at this point, we probably won't. Relationships drained to the point of death certainly is very, very real. Friends who together have overcome obstacles have a stronger bond than casual acquaintances who never face struggles. A relationship that falls apart at the first need of forgiveness hasn't really had enough time to become meaningful. So there is great joy in relationships that have passed the test of time. But even they are in need of reconciliation, in need of forgiveness at some point. Now, maybe you're thinking, well, I don't need anyone in my life. But life without relationships is painful. And most of all, it's draining. Think of children who grow up without their parents, or the person with no friends at all. Life without meaningful relationships robs you of the joy of living. It's what sin has done to us. It has disconnected us from our Creator. And all of our relationships, this is the relationship that is key to our existence as people. Adam and Eve were created to live in the garden God had given them in this perfect communion, this perfect relationship with Him. But even this relationship was broken by the fall as they sinned against the Lord. And ever since, the fracture of that relationship, we were born in the need of reconciliation. Without it, we cannot ever be fully human. For the basis of humanity includes communion. It includes relationship with God. As plants without water will not thrive and eventually die, humanity without God will not thrive and will eventually die. As a phone without a charger will eventually die, so also humans without God will eventually die. That overwhelming sense of things are not right in the world that you notice, it's a recognition
that we've been disconnected from our life source and are feeling ourselves slowly withering to die. This morning in our Old Testament reading, Isaiah tells us, "For good reason the Lord was angry with me, but his anger has turned away." Isaiah knows about reconciliation, and he knows why. He's talking about in that day, as our reading opens, but he's not speaking about that day, you know, the one where the Lord will return, but rather the day where the Lord comes the first time, the day that the Lord will send his Emmanuel, God coming to be with us when we were apart from him. In his coming, he will be the branch from the stump of Jesse who comes to restore the original peace between God and man. The wolf will lie down with the lamb, the leopard will lie down with the goat, the calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them. And that little one is Jesus, born of the Virgin Mary, God with us, reconciling the world back to himself by his cross. As Paul writes, God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. Jesus came and died. He took our death. He paid our price so that we may have abundant life in him. And when he says in him, it brings to mind what Jesus said, "I am the vine, you are the branches." As humans, and now as forgiven children of God, we draw our life from our Lord Jesus. And if we draw our life from him, then we share in that same life of his. That is the wonderful result of having been reconciled to God by the death of Jesus. It's like a plant freshly watered. It's like a phone plugged into its charger. But you see, plants can't water themselves. Phones can't plug themselves in. And we cannot be reconciled to God on our own. It is 100% God's actions to us. The lost son in Luke's gospel wanted to be reconciled back to his father on his own terms, but the father would not have it. The father reconciled the son back to himself by his actions, not the son's. And like the son, there is great joy in our new life with the father. So what is this joy? Well, you know, when a person is filled with joy at the birth of a new child or perhaps a promotion at work, that joy cannot contain itself. The urge to share it is overwhelming. And so it is with godly joy. When the waters from the wells of salvation pour over us in baptism, we cannot help but tell others of the good deeds of the Lord and what he has done for us. Paul calls it the ministry of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God was making his appeal through us. The ministry of reconciliation includes living in the joy, being reconciled, which Isaiah describes for us. He says, "We now live lives thanking God for what he has done for us, trusting in the salvation that he has provided for us, and no longer fearing, proclaiming to others this good news, and finally praising God for his glorious actions as we make them known to the world." A disconnected life is draining and exhausting. And it's not how we were created to live. Thanks be to God for the reconciliation who we have in our Lord Jesus. In him, we are restored to a right relationship with God and to even those around us. Therefore, shout aloud and sing for joy, people of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel among you.
Amen.